Welcome to the Cousin Joe Show on More Like Radio. Big Wreck. Ghosts. Very soon we have a very special guest coming on, but we have a special guest in front of my very eyes. Mr. Dave Satsik is back.
Yes, I am.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, buddy.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right.
That's pretty good. We have somebody else calling in right now. Already started. Look at that metal.
That's fine. I was trying to accept it without video. But for some fucking reason, this Kenny Michaels insists on calling us with his video to slow down my intranet.
Oh, really? I can do it on the phone. Does it sound the same as the phone? I never did a phone call.
Hold on. It's doing...
Does it sound the same? I'll call back.
No. It's fine. You know, it's not really you. It's Skype. Well, it's you.
It's you in the back of that box truck that you Skype in from.
it's also Skype, because I used to get the option to accept call without video, but this was either accept or hang up. I don't want to make you call back a fourth time, so...
If I do the phone call version, does it sound like a phone call, or does it sound like...
Oh, no, they both sound the same. It's just that accepting your video just means, you know, it takes more bandwidth. But
it's fine.
What?
Because I can do it real quick.
You could do it without video?
Of course.
All right, we'll do it up.
Yeah, just hang up on me.
All right, Dave, hang up on me. All right. And there you go. Kenny Michaels, everyone.
There goes Kenny.
He'll be back in a couple weeks.
There goes Kenny, you guys.
Speaking of Skype, 845. Yeah, is it the same? What do you mean with his bongos?
It sounds the same. Look at that. I never did that before.
It doesn't. No. It's adjusting. You know, it's got its adjustment period with your Elvis microphone. All right, Ken.
Oh, it's calibrating. Yeah, how's that going?
Calibrating, that's the word he uses. It is accurate. All right, we're good. Hi,
good?
Ken.
Yeah. Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Kenny?
Not much, man. Just hanging out. Had a free night, and you guys are free. So I said, shit, let me do the show.
Perfect timing. Yeah, it's been a while, man, since we had you on. It's been a while since Dave's been on. This is like a reunion of sorts. It's very exciting.
Yes.
What's been going on with you guys? I see, I've had a thing or two go on. I talked about it two shows ago, but you know me, I'm never adverse to repeating myself on this show, so I don't mind retelling. But what, anything going on with you guys? Any updates? Any good stories?
Not a whole lot.
Yeah, nothing crazy. I'm renovating a house and busting my ass.
Did you move?
No, we bought it. Me, my brother-in-law, and my sister bought a house to renovate. Kind of like, not a flip, but like a full renovation, because we always wanted to start a business. So his mother croaked and left him some cash, so we bought the house.
Story.
Was she a frog?
him and his two sisters got a bunch of cash, so we put it into a house. So I've been doing that, because... the bands. I'm sorry if I'm choking. I fucking inhaled a French fry and then did a shot of cinnamon whiskey, and something's backfiring.
We're allowed to mention brand names. Are you trying to say Fireball?
No. The Jack Daniels version.
Oh, I didn't know Fireball. They came out with that. Is that better than Fireball? I mean...
It's smoother. It's more...
Is there less... I think what really does me in with Fireball is the sugar amount.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Fucking, that's what gives me the major.
It's the same thing. That's the only shots that I can do. I can't, like, I drink vodka like it's nobody's business.
Oh, I know.
But if you give me a shot of it, I'll throw up right in your shoes.
Oh, yeah, you got to have a mixer with vodka.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't give a fuck how expensive, what brand it is. Any vodka tastes like rubbing alcohol to me. Straight.
I don't know, man. I mean, like, I could personally drink, like, Goose on the Rocks or Kettle on the Rocks, like, something like that, like, or Belvedere, something that's, like, high-end on the rocks. Absolutely. Chilled vodka, totally.
I mean, all right, I'll give you, it's better than Gordon's.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, 100. But, I mean, like, you're not going to do shots of, like, if you're doing shots of shit like Grey Goose, then what are you doing? You know, like, if you're trying to party and you're actually doing shots of vodka, you're crazy. If you're sipping it, it's a different story.
Yeah, I sip, if I order that, I get, Grey Goose Orange with a splash of Club.
Exactly. On the rocks. You can sit back and chill with that.
Yeah.
But now the Jack Daniels Fireball is better than Fireball? Because
I like it better. It's just, it's almost the same exact thing.
I always just got the worst hangovers from Fireball, though. Not you, Kenny?
I've never gotten drunk off of it. I just use it as appetizers.
Oh, all right, as a as a stabilizer.
Yeah, appetizer. Yeah,
I got you. I hear you.
But it's pretty good. But other than that, because it's funny, I never used to like working at the house, like working like 12 hours on the house because it's ours. It's not like a job, you know. It's cool. It's fun.
Right.
And it's something we've always wanted to do.
Passion involved.
Exactly. It's ours. It's our baby, if you will. Which is, I hate when people say that. It's your baby.
And then don't do it.
Yeah, I know. I said it on purpose to skeeve myself out. But well, you sit there, it's like you get home and you need a drink. You know, you need a cold beer or something.
Tell me. I know.
When you get home, you're just like, oof, I could use one of these.
We're talking about coming home from any place, right?
Any place, sure.
Yeah. Every day. I just want to make sure we're on the same page.
coming back to bed after getting up in the morning and going to the toilet, like, you're like, shit, I could really use a cold beer. Like, yeah. It's been a tough
That took a lot out of me.
Tough day.
I had to go get them. I had to go get something out of my car, and then on the way back, I'm like, I need a beer after this one.
Yeah, it's hot out. I need to refresh my. Well, I actually had Fireball like a month ago. Out of a stripper's vagina.
What?
Okay, so I went to a bachelor party. Now, I told this story on the show 2 weeks ago, but you know, we get new listeners. I tell myself that, but we also mainly get people that don't listen to every single show. So I won't go into the full details like I did last time when I first told it. But I want to get your guys' take on this because neither of you have heard the story.
Why didn't you just have a flask up her vag and she just unscrewed the cap and bent over your face?
I'll get to it. So this was God, I don't want to mention any names. I don't want to get anyone in trouble. But
she's a hooker. Who cares?
No, not her. No, not her. But I'm talking about my friends. It was a guy friend's bachelor party. You both know who he is.
Gotcha.
You've heard him on this show. And it was in Atlantic City at the Borgata. There was a room rented.
You classy and shit.
It was a Saturday, and I'll be honest, I wasn't looking forward to it. I wasn't, because I've always said, you never leave a strip club going, that was money well spent. But even worse now, it's going to be strippers in a hotel room. It's going to be like more of a cock tease, and it's going to be
getting real dirty now.
So, but no, it's not like the filth level that bothers me, obviously. I'm a filthy fuck. It's nothing.
It's great when they take a shit and don't flush and then leave.
For some odd reason, Kenny, I wasn't looking for that in the experience. But
did you find it?
No. So they get there, it's three of them, and you know, my friends had ordered them off this website, and two of them, we looked at the website afterwards. Two of them could have been the girls that were on the page if the photos were taken like 3 years ago. Now, they didn't look bad, those two that I'm talking about. They really didn't. One, the blonde, was incredibly fucking sexy. The brunette was also, but she had fake tits. And you guys know, that really just distracts me. I just see two balls of plastic. It takes me out of it.
Absolutely.
But, you know, still hot. Third one, fire hydrant. She was definitely not on the website. Definitely not picked, but it was sent. They showed up, just three of them. There was no like pimp guy. It was just them.
What was it? A tryout? she was a walk on.
She was the understudy.
Yeah, but it's got to be some car ride, knowing that you're the worst broad in the trip.
Because you know she made up for it though, because she was more outgoing and. Well, I'll get to it.
She's got
to
get the gigs. Yeah,
right, exactly. Her personality is everything if she can't keep up with the hotter ones.
And her standards, which I'll get to. So they show up and, you know, there's like...
So you did a fireball out of a fire crotch, huh?
So now there's like 7, 8 guys in the room, three of them. They go in the bathroom to get ready. They're all fucked. I mean, this is probably... I think it was 9:30. It was probably like their first or second of maybe three parties they did a night. It was an hour long.
Wow.
They went in, fucking pros. They had, you know, singles in bundles. So, like, I gave them a $50 bill. They gave me 50 cent singles. Guys gave hundreds. I wasn't going to spend that much. Right. But, so.
Joe gave fives.
They had their own change machine?
Yeah, dude. They had bags of wow. singles that were, like, from the bank wrapped in that, like, band. Like, for 50s, for yeah. hundreds to break. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, try to get through this quickly to break it down. Because my big story, if you want to call it that, has nothing to do with the strippers. It's something, and that's what I really want.
You need to reconvene back to this stripper and drinking Fireball out of her snatch. It has to do with the bachelor party. That you have to get to.
But, well, yeah, no, I'll do that right now.
Okay.
So they had these games. So, you know, there was two beds. They would throw, first, of course, the bachelor went on his back on the bed. And then I believe the first game was a girl would get the girl would get on top of you and take your belt off, pull your pants down, and like she'd get all the guys to throw dollar bills onto you, the guy laying down on his back, and she'd stuff them into your boxers and then like take them out with her teeth. But of course she wouldn't stuff them all the way in. When it was my, I don't want to say turn, not every guy, again, because I don't want to get people in trouble. Not every guy did these things. I did. So when I went.
I did.
When I went. I swear to you, I did not plan this out. But when she pulled my pants down, my boxer button was undone. So my dick was just laying there. Just open.
Nice.
Kenny, you believe that? Can you believe that Joe did that?
I swear, I did not plan.
You're so outrageous.
So, I didn't plan it. I swear. But my friend, and Dave, you'll probably know off the bat who it was, saw this, ran over, and pinched my dick. And the stripper was, "Oh, I love how comfortable you guys are with your." And I had to kind of explain. Look, I've known this guy since I was 12. It's not like I just let a random guy grab my dick, and it was over my boxers, so it wasn't skin on. I'm trying to justify to the stripper who's peeling dollar bills with her teeth.
Yeah, I was gonna say her,
like, I'd give a shit.
Her judgment of you is what matters at the end of the day.
Right, exactly.
This chick was like, here's some Fireball out of my asshole.
I'm just picturing he's holding it like a kitten, like by the back of the neck. Just hanging out.
Just give it a little wiggle back and forth. Yeah, that's what he did. It walked away. Exactly. Just for a laugh.
Kenny's imagining doing it with a foot. I'm just kidding, Kenny.
So then the next one is, okay, you got on your back again. The girl gets on top of you, and there's a 20 involved. One of the guys got to throw in a $20 bill, and the game is you put it over your mouth, and she picks it up with her pussy lips. And I saw, like, two other guys do it and whatever, you know, fine. For me, the same girl, she goes, "It works better if you hum." I go, "Hum?" And she goes, "Yeah, you know, mm." I'm like, I know what hum means. I'm just like, this is retarded. But there I am, you know, for the all of 3 seconds.
That, right, right.
What's her stripper name, Swiffer?
This is Swiffer, and I'm Dyson.
And I'm Wet Jet.
That was the unplanned girl.
I was going to say, Wet Jet was the uglier one of the group, the one with a great personality.
I wonder how to get to suction if she's got to pick it up. Either she's got glue on it, or she's got to like hold her, like she's got to inhale. And it,
yeah, I think she's like forced, like you know, pre-queef when they suck in air, and then, you know what I mean? It's either that, or she covertly just takes her fingers and wets her pussy lips.
Probably that.
You know what I mean?
Probably that.
Yeah.
There's probably like some kind of like Hollywood trick, like the same way they can make like actors cry, they can make like a pussy wet. Just rub a little like a little jalapeno on the outside of like the pussy lips, and it's like
jalapeno.
Pussy starts crying. It's just like dripping wet. So
that's hilarious.
I'm trying to think if there are others. Whatever. The last one I remember was, they would, for $20, two girls were involved. One would get on all fours in the bed with her ass, vag up. The other one would lube up one of those shooters that you take a shot out of, like those tube shot glasses.
Yeah.
Lube it up, pour Fireball in it, put it in her snatch. You would have to, with your mouth only, no hands, you know, pick it up with your teeth, pull it out of her vag, drink it. And then there were two blobs of whipped cream on each ass cheek you'd lick off.
Sure, that was whipped cream.
One of the guys there.
It wasn't whipped cream, it was discharge.
Well, one of the guys there, as he was playing this wizard game, decided there was whipped cream on the girl's asshole and decided to catch some. So,
well done.
So he went back for another one, the girl that was doing like the whipped cream, pouring it. And putting the lube shot in there, I actually had to place her hand over the other girl's asshole to protect her.
Well played.
This reminds me, this is the other weird thing. When they came in, they said there are two rules. I'll never forget this. One, be respectful. Two, no fingers in assholes. Do you understand what that leaves open?
We got two requirements.
Now, no one did anything, but... From those two rules,
you imagine if that's how school was? Hey, listen, there's two requirements. Be respectful and no fingers in assholes.
That's some human resource manual. Right.
Listen.
Man, there's a lot of room to wiggle around in there, man.
Absolutely anything goes except disrespect or a finger in my asshole. Those are out.
What, Ken?
That's so great, man. You should give that, should have fucking gave that guy a medal. Just going right for it. Fuck that.
Yeah, like I said, there was a blob of whipped cream on each ass cheek. He went for right ass cheek, whipped cream, and then decided, oh, there might be some right in the middle here, and then went to the other one.
Oh, my. That's great. That's freaking classic. That would have made my night right there. I'm like, it doesn't matter what happens.
And here's the thing, I had a great time. This was a lot of fun.
You were making it sound a minute ago like it wasn't fun. It was. Man.
No, I was saying I wasn't looking forward to it because normally strippers like cock tease, waste of money.
Yeah.
But at no point did they like, you know, allude to, ooh, maybe we'll do this. Like you knew it was what it was. It was these like, quote, fun games. Where they were fucking around. It was just, you know, fun. It was just, you know,
innocent.
Yeah.
Filthy innocent.
Did they offer anything like side stuff afterwards?
Well, the fire hydrant. Oh, and here's what I forgot about her. She let guys eat her box.
Okay.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
So, wait.
I did not partake in that.
She allowed them.
But, like, when they were doing, like, one of the games and she was right on top of them, I looked over and noticed, oh, he's eating her pussy. Okay. Just like one or two, you know. But
she's got to get it somewhere.
Can I ask you a question? Let me ask you a question.
Absolutely.
Let me ask both of you guys a question.
Uh-huh.
Does eating a stripper or a prostitute's pussy sound like something that would be
now? Can I stop you right there? What if it was one of the hot ones? Does that change anything?
Yes.
What if? Who cares? What if she has any kind of disease in the world?
There's no way I would have eaten that chick's pussy. The blonde one. That really hot one?
Mm-hmm.
I would have been tempted.
You would have eaten a stripper's pussy.
I'm not saying I definitely would have. I'm saying
you definitely
it wouldn't
would
have been out of the realm of possibility.
Right.
What were you saying, Kenny?
I wouldn't. I couldn't.
I couldn't do that.
But I'm talking in the moment. I mean, it's easy to say that now. And again, I would tell you if I did. I didn't, you know, partake in that.
I know. I can understand. But I've never been with a hooker.
Yeah, me neither.
What?
And... Yeah, I've never been with a hooker or
why
massage
did I think
joint.
I could have sworn it. Maybe because I'm thinking of massages.
Yeah, I've never been to a massage parlor.
What?
I've been to the Buy Me Drinky bars when I was in the military. But
wait, you never got, like, tug massages, Ken?
No, I was too scared to get caught. I was always too nervous. Every dude with a dick that I know has basically been to one, but I never have.
Oh, maybe that's why, because I know you've given, like, advice on them or whatever, talked about them, right? The jerk parlors?
No, not the jerk parlors. That's Conti. Conti.
Oh, maybe I'm thinking of Conti. Okay.
Yeah, he was. I mean, he actually, the owner, the Russian lady owner, actually called him personally to tell him.
You
that
mean
they
the
were
sex
leaving.
Traffic head master?
Yeah. The czar of fucking whores.
Yeah.
Actually called him on the phone and told him that they were moving their office.
Listen, we don't want you to not. We don't want you to think we're closed or we got arrested. We're just moving down the block so we don't get arrested.
He tells a story. She's like, "Joe, hey Joe, just want to let you know we're moving to 714 Smith Street. Come see us." Yeah, he was
Mr.
a pro.
Joe, we are not going anywhere. You can come to your favorite tug parlor. We are two blocks down.
See now that. That's something I've never got around to doing. I'm not, like, eager to do it, but if I was out one night and one of my friends said, hey, I know this massage parlor that jerks you off, I think I'd be up for it.
The closest I ever got to, and I was on the phone with
I love you, Joe.
What is
I fucking love you.
Go ahead, Ken. I'm listening.
No, the closest I ever got to was I was hungover, and I had to go get my car fixed at Pep Boys. And across from Pep Boys, I was going to get a slice of pizza, and right next to it was a massage joint. And I was like, Joe, I was like, do me a favor, look this up real quick. What do you think? And he's like, you're in the Mecca massage parlors, brother. It's a massage. And I was sitting.
Can you say what town this was in?
Edison.
All right.
Yeah, in Edison.
All right.
On right off of Route 1.
All right, well, that was enough, but okay.
Yeah. I was walking back and forth through the, in front of the window like some creep on the phone talking to Conti because the car, I had to get my starter done and it was going to take like 3.5 hours and I was hungover. So I was kind of really half drunk still. And I wasn't completely, you know, thinking about the right stuff. And I was really, really close to going in, but I didn't do it. No, I never got a hook or nothing like that. I did tell the story. I don't know if Dave ever heard it. I might have told it on here a long time ago. But the bachelor party that I went to for this guy in Elizabeth, and the hooker it was missing her left tricep on her arm.
Wait! I'm trying to picture.
Do you remember this? Do you remember this one, Jeff?
No. I think I would.
She was missing her left tricep.
Yes, because she got carjacked with a shotgun and blew her tricep off because she was trying to drive away.
Dave is squirming in his chair.
And the guy, and she tells a story.
I'm still trying to picture what this means. I'm thinking of a muscle when you say tricep.
Yeah, your tricep.
You mean a whole
this.
Part of her arm?
I'm talking shark bite out of her arm.
Okay, all right.
I got it.
So she's a stripper, though?
Yeah, she was a stripper. Her face was okay.
Her arm was gone.
I mean, you're talking to Elizabeth at a Puerto Rican dude's bachelor party.
It just got real.
So my one friend Danny is laying on the ground and they're in a 69 position, right?
They were 69ing or they were just happened to be laying.
He was licking her. Yeah, he was doing it.
Okay.
My other friend Danny has this like 12-inch dildo and he's ramming it in her as he's trying to as she's 69ing. Now she's
gentle.
Not blowing him. What she does is she pulls his dick out, right? She grabs it with one hand and she signals over to her bodyguard and tosses this thing, and I thought it was a condom. She picks it up, it's a pack of matches. So she's choking his dick. She takes one of the matches out. She lights it, licks the tip of his dick, and then puts the lit match in his dick hole.
Ah. What?
And meanwhile, he has no idea. We fucking lost our shit because now his dick's on fire.
Wait, how did he not feel it? Because she slobbered in his dick hole first?
I guess so, yeah. She licked his dick and squeezed it so the hole opened. And put the match in his head, in his
and
dick
he didn't
hole,
scream?
And lit it. He didn't do not. No, it wasn't on fire. It was like a candle. He didn't even realize. He didn't even realize it was in his dick hole because he's trying. He's got the bird's eye view of my other friend Danny jamming 12 inches of dildo into her while he's trying to eat her out.
Holy shit!
Yeah, and she's doing it all with one tricep.
And, you almost forgot about that part.
Yeah. And it got ugly at the end because she was doing she was doing extra stuff, you know, for in this one bedroom, whatever, you know, blowjobs or whatever.
Right, right.
And all these Puerto Rican dudes were fucking, now they're getting hammered. And now they're all juiced up, you know, fucking hormones are flying. And this one guy, he was a big dude, and he was trying, he was like, let's fucking go. It's my turn. It's fucking my turn. And he goes and he does one of those fucking, and it was in a sort of downstairs, or like a den with a base, a bedroom on the side where the part where that was happening. And he fucking gets a running start and fucking runs right through the fucking door of the bedroom because he said it was his turn. And you can see the one guy, all you see is the guy's head pop up. Well, she's blowing him. Yeah, he ran right through the door, knocked the thing off the hinges and everything. And then that was when we were like, all right, we got to get out of here. It's time to go.
That's the end of the party.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but she was a hooker, you know? I don't even know if she was a stripper. She was a hooker. And, yeah, she told the story. We're like, dude, like, what the fuck happened to your arm? And it was new. It was, like, still scabby-ish. You know?
Oh, wow.
Because she got carjacked. And the guy had a shotgun. And
she tell that story while she was getting the dildo rammed in her?
No, we still, as soon as I saw her, as soon as we saw her, I don't know who mentioned it first, but we were like, what the fuck's up with your arm? You know?
Because with a hooker, you
tact
can ask,
is important.
Yeah, with a hooker, you can just be blatant like that. You don't have to fucking try to, like, dress it up at all.
No. You know, it's not like if somebody at the office, you know, or some weird, you know, somebody's missing a finger and you shake their hand, you don't go, I'm fucking missing a finger.
Right. You know? This isn't one of those situations where they're like, oh, yeah, my finger's gone. And you're like, what? I didn't even notice when I looked at your hand that you were missing a finger.
Yeah. No, this is what the fuck.
No, this is like,
you?
Yo, your fucking whole arm is fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah. It looked like a fresh shark bite, man. It was fucking crazy.
Well, this is good to know. This is what's walking the streets of Edison, you said, or Elizabeth?
No, this is Elizabeth, yeah.
Elizabeth, yeah. All right. I'm going to keep that in mind.
Nice town.
So neither of you guys would ever do the, I mean, if you were, you know, put yourself, Dave, in single shoes, would you ever do the massage jerk?
Yeah, probably.
Kenny, I'm surprised.
Yeah, I would. I've thought about it, and I for how I haven't, I'm not even sure.
For me, it's like, again, it's something I never really felt the need to search out. But again, if I was in that scenario, I wouldn't turn it down, I don't think.
Yeah. There's a funny story of two of our comedian friends. You know them very well. One has passed away, and the other one has a large head. Just put it that way.
Okay.
And it's very loud.
Okay? I know them both in my mind right now.
You know exactly what I'm talking about. But they were freak. The one that has passed away was a frequent of this one massage parlor up in the Palisades. And so he brings his friend, our friend, with him one day. And they've been out boozing and the whole thing. And the one masseuse is massaging the one. And the other one comes in, and when I tell you this, you're gonna be like, "Yep, I can totally see that." she goes, "Excuse me, your friend won't leave because he's falling asleep." and he goes, "What the fuck you want me to do? Kick him out? Fucking kick him out of there? He won't wake up. He's sleeping because this is now what you're talking like 1 or 2 in the afternoon from the night before. You know,
it wasn't
like they woke up, had eggs, and was like, oh, let's go get jerked off. This was the end of the night in the afternoon. You know." He's like, fucking kick him out. He's like, I'm not done yet. Yeah, but I've been very close, but I never have. Yeah. And the whole going down on abroad.
No, Dave's question was not going down abroad. It was a stripper.
Yeah, a stripper, exactly.
Oh,
yeah,
who possibly had a bachelor party before the one I was at.
Exactly.
And you don't know almost what, definitely after.
You don't know what the fuck was stuck in her in that first bachelor party.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't be...
Shower and everything as she might. That's great.
That's why you got to give that butthole dude a medal and a tetanus shot.
Oh, I didn't even think... Yeah, that really puts some
perspective. And a tetanus shot. Just in case there was remnants of some horse shit inside of her asshole, you know. Like,
well, I'll make sure and bring a prescription to his wedding. I'm kidding.
Yeah, I couldn't go down on a I mean, if it was a stripper, like a straight up stripper, I definitely could. But like after her set or something, you know,
right?
At a club, but
her set.
After she does her 8 minutes of new material, after the red light, after she's red.
And you guys can't see me, but I did air quotes when I said that too.
Her set.
But if you're a traveling salesman, you know I'm not gonna do it. Let somebody else do it. All right. I'll let somebody else have the adventure.
Well, I think it's time I get to the part of that night where, I told the story, like I said, 2 weeks ago, the last show I did. But I really want both of your takes on this because neither of you, even Dave, I haven't had a chance to talk to you. You know nothing about this at all. So, all right. It's like I said, it's at the Borgata. This is after the whole stripper thing happens. We all go back down to the casino. Gambling and obviously now at this point it's like 4:30 in the morning. Now, out of all the guys there, most of them, you know, I was just introduced to, you know, friends of The Bachelor that I didn't know, and there was one other guy who I knew and have known for years. Great guy, really solid dude, and out of everyone there, the most, including me, the most level-headed, you know. So I was sticking with him the entire night, you know. We decide at 4:30, yeah, it's time to, let's go back up to the room at least, maybe, you know, have a drink. Oh, because by the way, real quick, I don't know when the last time you guys were at a casino in AC. It's been a couple of years for me. Not too many years, but
it's been several for me.
But every
I go a couple of times a month, actually, almost.
Okay, really? Well, Kenny.
Well, maybe we'll go on a stretch. Me and my brother and my father will meet at the Nugget.
Well, I got to bring this up.
Nice. I wish I got a chance to go down more.
I don't know if it's just the Borgata, but I've been to the Borgata before. This hasn't been a problem. Every other time I've been at a casino, I could be sitting at a slot machine, but if I'm sitting there long enough, I'll get free drinks. That's what they do in casinos.
100%.
Dude, I did not get one free drink this entire, I'm talking hours on the floor, and I'm talking about tables. For the first time ever, I actually played a table game.
I've never heard that doesn't... Like, I've never heard of somebody not getting served drinks. Like, they cater to you when you sit there.
Even worse, I had money on a roulette table. And it got crowded. You know how people, you know, they come up and they kind of squeeze you out.
Right,
you know,
right. So
you're playing, but your hands aren't on the table because it's so fucking crowded. Waitress came by. I ordered a rum and coke. And she goes... You're playing? And I go, yeah. Which I was. Not that I was dropping a fuckload of money, but whatever. I
doesn't
was
matter,
playing.
Regardless, you're playing. You give the casino your fucking money.
She comes back over with a tray of drinks, and I see my rum and coke, and I'm about to grab it, and she goes, you have money on the table? And I actually did. I had chips on the table, and I go, yeah. And she goes, hold on a second, and walks away from me with a drink.
What?
Yeah. And I see her 10 minutes later walk by, and I just go, who'd you give my drink to? And she just kept walking. I don't know if they're losing money, but I don't understand. That's like the old,
age-old
casino
that.
Rule. You get them drunk so they spend more.
Exactly.
Kenny, have you experienced this?
No.
And like I gotta I'm sorry to interrupt. I gotta be clear. Yeah. I gotta be really clear, because most people are probably thinking, I was nowhere near shit-faced. It's not like they looked at me like, oh, you... I was sober. I drove down there sober. I got there late. I missed the dinner. I maybe had 2 Coors Lights in the fucking hotel room. I was not even buzzed.
Right.
So it wasn't even a question of like, let's not, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, comes into play in the story I'm about to tell anyway. I was pretty much dead sober. But I'm sorry, Ken.
Yeah, no, that's never, no, normally you, they're like, gas them up. So, you know, whatever Always. Money you do win... You know, the house will take back, and whatever you don't, the house will take more and more because you're like, fuck. When I go down to the Nugget, because on my father, my stepmother, my father's wife, on her side, they're all dealers at like every casino because he lives down in New York City. Yeah, I wish. Yeah, I should be so lucky. The Tropicana, and this one's at the Borgata, this one's at the Nugget, and the whole thing. But so we get preferential, like,
Yeah, Compton shit?
Gold card, yeah, at the Nugget, yeah.
All right.
And
by the way, isn't the Nugget like the last old school style casino down there?
No, it's all brand new. It's not bad. There's a nightclub and shit.
No, I'm not saying bad, but isn't there one that's like still got that old like 70s, 80s look, like where they filmed Casino? I know they filmed it in Vegas, but you know, one of those that didn't really modernize. Isn't there one left over?
No, that used to be Caesars or Trump. That was
not Trump. It was an older one. Anyway, not important.
Yeah.
Showboat? It might have been Showboat.
Oh, yeah. Showboat
was one of the last old school ones for sure.
That's right.
Yeah, that one's gone.
And the Revel I was at, which was one of the nicest places ever, that lasted, I think, 4 months, and they closed.
Yeah.
I mean, that...
What a disaster that was. How much money got lost in that fucking shithole.
Yeah. Yeah, now they're turning it into like a dorm, like a college dorm or something.
Oh, did they sell it to something else?
No. They're still trying to do something with it.
I mean, could you imagine having something the size been sitting of there that for property, years? And then not even just have the you property, been in it? Just the actual, like, the building itself and everything. No, never made it
It is
there.
Fucking gorgeous.
Yeah.
That's where Charlie's bachelor party was like three years ago.
It was at Revel, yeah?
Yeah. Incredibly nice place. But anyway, Kenny.
Yeah, no, so when I go down to the Nugget, my brother and my father are cigar smokers, and I smoke cigarettes, so we go to this cigar bar. And it's same bartenders, they know us, and that's where we go. And what you do is, as soon as I'm there, I grease them with like $40. Right away, each one of us throws in $20, $40. The bartender. It's the bar. In the cigar bar.
All right.
She goes, you could smoke and whatever. And they have table games in there. So I play inside there. And then what you do is you sit at the table at the bar and you put $20 in and you play. You can play for 7 hours. And as long as you're playing on the machine, the drinks just keep coming. You just got to make sure you grease the bartender. You know? You grease them right away. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they get a percentage of the losings, you know?
I was so fucking starved for a drink. I was walking around looking for bars to get into, but there was long lines. I was like, fuck it.
Yeah.
But this is the Borgata. But anyway, that would have been good if I could find a bar that had a table in it. That sounds more ideal, but...
Yeah, no, that's where we go all the time. And it's funny, it was the one night, speaking of hookers, there was one night, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I had won... So it was one of those nights where I would go to the bathroom, and on the way to the bathroom, I in the cigar bar, there's a roulette table, and everything I touched was fucking. I would come back and I'd be like, stack of 500 chips. Every time I'd go to the bathroom, I'd play like real quick numbers, and that night, so me, my brother, and my father, we got tanked, and we were going to eat burgers because we were starving, and it's this hooker. We actually found her. She gave me her number, and she's like, "Shit, I wish I still had her number. I got it somewhere written down." But she's on the internet, and you can see like her pictures. And she's this blonde girl, and at the time she looked all right, but her pictures looks like ghetto blonde, you know. And she wanted to take me and my father up to the room. So I was like, I'm thinking of it. So now I'm playing around with it, not playing around with her, but
wait,
I'm
how did you got to walk me through? How did this get propositioned? I mean, how...
As soon as we walked out of the cigar bar, she was right there. And she's, guys, are you guys hanging out? And it was late at night. So what happens is after like 2 in the morning, every casino just gets flooded. That's their prime time. Because nobody gets a hooker at 10 o'clock, you know? The hookers get out, you know, they get the outside work at 10 o'clock. At 3 o'clock is when all dudes are like, fuck this, I'm getting a hooker.
Yeah, 10 o'clock is when they're just waking up.
Yeah. So when it's 2 or 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, when you really stay up late in casinos, then you start to see the fucking skeletons, you know, these mutants coming around. And you know exactly who they are. You could tell. You know, they'll come up to you in a bar because the bars are 24 hours. They'll come up to you and start, you know, fucking talking to you and stuff. And you're like, you're a hooker. But you want, of course, like, you know, pull your chest up to the wood, cunt. Let's go. So there's one she gave me her number, and I'm like, we're gonna go eat burgers, but I'll call you right after, you know. And I'm hyping up for my because I'm my father, you know what I mean? He's there, and he's probably, you know, has been around hookers for years, and so I went.
I was hoping you didn't get a hooker together with your father. That'd be a
no. But I was playing it as we were.
Okay.
Just after we got burgers, we had to get something to eat.
At this point, so, by the way, were you tempted at all to get one on your own?
No. All right. Yeah, no, not at all. And she was cute at the time because it was 3 o'clock in the morning and we were hammered. And then I Google searched her phone number and found her on the internet. And she's got this.
Well, like on a Backpage type site?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And a bunch of pictures. And all I did was Google her phone number. And it was funny. On one side of her cheek.
I love how amazed Kenny is at Google.
I found her. And I showed my father, too. On probably the size, I would say, of the bottom of a coffee plate, a teacup, you know, like the plate. The saucer?
Right.
Saucer. That about that size on one of her cheeks said grade A meat.
Oh, God. Oh, like the stamp?
Wow.
Yeah, like a meat stamp
that's
on her ass.
Prime time. Oh, and
that's disgusting.
And
what
it wasn't
pig.
like a logo that she put on the photo. It was a tattoo.
No, she was covered in tattoos. Yeah, she
but
was
she
a really
had a
bad
prime like a USDA
that is
prime. Prime.
That might be one of the worst tattoos I've ever heard.
Steak stamp. Wow. Yep. Steak stamp on her ass. Yep. Wow. And she's bent over.
You want to talk about just classifying yourself as just a piece of meat. Just a fucking God. Slab of meat with Damn. Holes. Oh. Hey, listen. You know what? Got to get in where you fit in, though.
All right, well, I think I should tell the part two of my Atlantic City story. So, Mal, how you doing? She's in the chat just joining us. If you want to listen back, I told part one in the first hour tonight. And I told the whole story already 2 weeks ago, but whatever. You listen to whatever you want, dear. Anyone else. But this is what I really want your guys' take on. So now, as I said, me and my friend... who, again, totally level-headed. He wasn't drinking either, so both of us are sober. He's more sober than anyone. Decide, go back up to the room, hang out, have a beer, relax. Maybe, you know, take a nap, whatever. You know, it's fucking 4:30 in the morning. We were on the floor hours, fucking all night, obviously. So we go up. Before we go up, there are these two girls that, now, you know, where we were,
they were looking for you, Joe.
Where we were by the slot machines and the ashtray, having a cigarette, we had a view of the hotel entrance. Hotel entrance. Well, yeah, the elevators. So you know that you go into if you're staying. So from the floor where you're gambling, casino floor, you go up to your room, right? And you can't get past there unless you have a card key for one of your rooms, right? They got security.
Yeah.
So these two drunk girls are trying to get through, and they can't. And we see one of the guys from the group that's in the bachelor party run over and try to be like, oh, yeah, no, they're with me. And the security's like, yeah, no, they're not, pal. No, stop it. So that we don't think anything of it, whatever. You know, we're just watching amused.
Yeah.
About 10 minutes later, my friend and I, we head up to the room, you know, through that entrance, of course. And, we're in the room, you know, hanging out, talking, bullshitting. And not 5 minutes goes by, and we hear, like, this loud girl, not arguing, but just talk and, like, kind of...
drunk, belligerent nonsense.
You know what? Yeah. I wouldn't go so far as belligerent, but it was muffled, so it was hard to tell what was going on. But it sounded like something wasn't right. So... he calls me over to the door. He's looking through the people. And I look, and I see, and I'm like, those are the same two girls. I don't know how they get up here. It's them. So we look at each other, and I just go, yeah. And I kind of motion, like, I unlock the deadbolt. I open the door. They're right outside the fucking door.
How did they? But you have no idea how they got up there at this point?
No idea.
Okay.
So I open the door, and I go, hey, you girls all right? You know, you need help? Before I could finish my sentence, they walk right in and sit on the edge of the bed.
But they pushed you aside, like, we're not here to talk about nice shit.
No, they didn't push me aside. They just
came
hey.
Right in to hang out, just like,
yeah,
what's
yeah,
up?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And just sat on the edge of the bed. Okay.
This story is either going to get really hot or they were on acid and my chubby's going to go away.
Now, when they sit down, I'm going, so you guys all right? Yeah, you know, I'm trying to make small talk, like, you know, you guys were at a bachelorette party or whatever. No, we're with these other girls, but then fuck them. And then I'm like, okay. And now I could see, now that I'm up close and I'm hearing them talk or attempt to talk, they're much further than drunk than I thought. They're fucking wasted. You know, like beat red faced, slurring. So I, all right. So I just, first thing I do is I go into the other room and I grab, we had little Gatorades. I bring back, go, here, why don't you hydrate? Hand him a Gatorade.
Yeah. Joe's maternal instincts kicking in.
This is
Joe
where
becomes mother hen.
This is what I said. This might surprise you. I don't know, but I didn't even think right about it. But it was just like
they're two sluts, not fucking linebackers.
Right. I know. No, Kenny, you're absolutely right. And I know that they came in to party, but it wasn't even like, should I do this? It was just the first thought on my head was these girls need help. I'm trying, I gotta help them. That was just, you know what I mean? It was just instinctual.
Well, these were victims in any other room that night for the most part. Like, sure. Most likely, like, not to be a dick, well, but that's reality.
No, I mean, I was gonna talk about that later, but there's no reason not to bring it up now. My friend and I later said, I mean, 4:30 in the morning, Saturday night, in Atlantic City in a hotel.
Wasted.
They are so lucky they knocked on our door.
Right.
And not somebody else. So
you're true. You're right.
So that happens, and they're on the edge of the bed, and my friend is on the couch totally across the room. And I join him. I sit next to him, completely distancing myself. You know what I mean?
Just the whole thing at this point.
Yeah. Been just talking. And we're talking, and, you know, they're from Staten Island, and
Of course, they say
we're from Rockland. And
that's how you expect to show up at 3 o'clock in the morning in Atlantic City at your hotel room. Couple of fucking drunk chicks from Staten Island.
And, you know, it's, you know, where you from talk, obviously. And, you know, they know someone from Rockland, some girl's name, and whatever we're talking. And, you know, I'm going, so what, you can't get in your room? Have you tried? Did you go to the desk to try to get a new key card? Like, I'm just trying to be helpful. And I'm sure they just want a party. So at this point, like, there's, like, the brunette, who's the cuter one, is, like, she's the one really talking to me. And the other one's, like, kind of not and kind of motioning, like, all right, there's no party here. Let's leave. But the other one's, like, still engaged and talking to me. And then that blonde one just falls off the bed. Just falls. So I instinctually get up and, like, kind of do, like, a...
CPR?
No.
Like, giving her mouth-to-mouth real quick.
I do, like, a quick, like...
The curly shuffle?
I do a power walk. And I get close and, like, extend my hand, like... But then I see her friends already got her. And I hear, I'm all right. I'm like, okay. So I just go back sitting down. Her friend helps her up. I'm like, all right, I don't want to... Okay. You know, I'm thinking this. I don't say it out loud. But, talking more, and I'm kind of joking around with the brunette, cuter one, who was less drunk, obviously, the one that didn't fall out of nowhere. They were in the middle of the bed, by the way. Like, the blonde wasn't on the edge.
Right, right.
She just flopped. I don't know how the fuck she got that far. But
how do you fall off a fucking bed like that?
But, so the blonde one finally, you know, makes another motion, like, you know, let's go. So this is my big fuck up. I should have said to the dark haired girl, like, look,
you should have said, I have this fireball trick.
I should have said, like, here's my number. If you need help later or at any point, you know, give me a text. That way, the next day when she was sober, I could text her and see if maybe she wanted to meet up or whatever. Right.
Right.
I totally fucked that up. So her friend pretty much drags her out the door. She drops two of the four things she's holding. They were like these, you know, in the pool, those like noodle things.
Yeah.
They were like, if those were cut into foot and a half long pieces and they were like red strobe lit. It was weird. I don't know what the fuck they were. But she was carrying, and she dropped it. So I picked them up, and I, you know, I can't have to. And as she's walking out, she, I love you. Of course, my
and Joe started hearing Celine Dion's "My Heart Will Go On." At that moment,
I was about to run out and ask her ring size. Are you kidding? Of course. First time I heard that in years.
Joe was like, "Do you want my Netflix password?" I mean, like, let's start slow. You know, like,
no, it was also probably the most sincere I've ever heard a girl say that to me. So yeah, I was all in. So they disappear. We shut the door, and me and my friend look at each other like, "Did that just happen? Like, what the fuck?" And talk about what you were saying, Dave. Like, holy fuck. Not only are they really lucky that they knocked on this door.
Yeah, man.
Because you know how many guys would have taken advantage of fucking...
Oh, absolutely. Especially that time of night, you know? Everybody's tuned up and not thinking right.
Exactly.
Right. So now, like, 20 minutes goes by, and we're both kind of talking about it, and we're like, maybe we should just take a walk. Just see if they got in their room. Just so we go...
Where are they? What floor were they staying on compared to where you guys were?
We never got that far.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So you just decided to walk around the casino.
Well.
Knowing they'd be somewhere in that same vicinity, obviously.
Well, our initial thing was at least walk that top floor where our room was, see if they were.
There's a reason why they still in the hallway. So, there, right.
Yeah, just make sure they're not still, whatever. I don't know. So we go out and we're walking down the... Mom in the chat, Joe, you need to be more specific. You've had a lot of big fuck ups. Yes, Mom. Thanks for pointing that out.
They're walking the halls and all of a sudden their phones get an Amber Alert. Like two girls inside the Borgata missing.
By the way, do you know how many times I went on Instagram with hashtag Borgata and refresh it to see if I saw their picture to see because I was so pissed at not getting that girl's number. I know.
Joey.
I know. But anyway, so
you went on the Borgata's Instagram. You went to every end you could figure out.
I may have went on Tinder and changed my range to Staten Island for 5 minutes. I went insane for 5 minutes.
Oh, Joey.
I felt like it was a lost opportunity because this girl was so gorgeous and she was. I felt kind of into me. Then again, she was shit-faced. So... Still.
Yeah, she wandered up to your fucking hotel room blackout drunk.
I know.
And half belligerent.
Well, her friend was blackout drunk. She was shit-faced.
Let's get that straight. So she was a little bit closer to not being totally inebriated. Fine.
So, Mal, the one that got away. Exactly. So now...
Yeah, the one stewed fish that got away.
But at this point, honestly, my friend and I are going out because we're like concerned. At this point, in all seriousness... My friend and I are going out to take a look because we're, like, actually concerned, right? And, sorry, I got distracted. Phone. So we're walking the hallway. It's, like, close to 5 in the morning now. And we see this, like, red dot flash thing in the distance. Like, what the fuck? We get closer. It's one of those girls flashing things. In the hallway right outside of some random door. And it was so fucking creepy and eerie. So naturally
that's like seeing plane crash in the ocean debris.
Right. Yeah, right. There's no breeze at all because it's a totally like, you know, closed corridor, but these things are just like flapping in a breeze that isn't even there. Just like the reeds among like, you know, the engine of the plane and everything, yeah. You know?
You're like, oh, there's parts. Something was here.
I got a text from someone who may have been at the party, Dave. I'm just letting you know because he might Skype in. I didn't say what he asked if we were live. So if he does Skype in, just make sure you do at the call. Or let me know. I'll come around. Anyway, so we see that. So naturally we stand outside the door for a good 10, 20 seconds. Just make sure we don't hear any screaming. And we keep walking down that. And then we decide, let's go down to the casino. And, you know, after like 2 minutes, we're like, all right, you know, this is, it's time to pack it in here. But is it weird that I was legitimately concerned about these two girls that I had met for maybe eight minutes?
No, you're a good guy, yeah. You're a human being. You know, anybody with compassion.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, you've got a sister. You know, you've got family. Anybody
what if it was a sister? It was the right thing to do
to look out for them.
But I'm sure you realize how a lot of guys could see that. I think it was like, hey, faggot or weird or whatever. That's why I'm asking.
I wouldn't think that at all. I would think that you were actually looking out for them. That you were probably the one nice guy that they're going to meet the entire night in a world full of guys that are probably going to try to fucking...
Which is why I'm always single.
Take a... Yeah, well, I mean, hey, yeah. Shit.
Ask Lacey Peterson what she thinks.
Mom in chat. Mom says, no, it's very sweet, Joe. Thank you, Mom. Yes. No, I know. And you know, but I just wanted your guys' take on that.
No, I think
yeah, I would do the same thing. Once I saw, you know, being single myself, and then two broads wandering in. Once I saw that they were beyond, you know, a little bit beyond of
that was partying, the whole thing, Kenny. You know? Yeah, when I saw they were too drunk,
right?
That was when I went for the Gatorade. That was it. Yeah.
Yeah, because then what happens is just say that you wind up just say banging one of them or something like that. She wakes up and she has remorse. Then she goes and gets a rape kit and it's swab and you got your DNA, you know, and you're like, well, you were into it. There's nobody, they're going to believe her, you know, right. Even if it was 100%. Innocent.
Well, no, you're right. But I was more along the lines of it's just not a turn on to fuck a semi-conscious girl.
I love
but,
how we
you know, teach his own.
Exactly. I love how we just went into like the most complicated episode of CSI. Like,
yeah, rape kits and swabs. Like, I knew it was swabs.
I think you did the right thing, because realistically, those girls...
No, I know I did. I was just curious
about you. You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of Billy Bob Thornton as Lorne Malvo. The whole thing about there are no angels in the wild. Just predator and prey? Just
something along those lines, yeah.
Yeah. It was something to that effect. Right, I forget what it was, but that's what it is. Like,
something like wolves and sheep,
yeah,
maybe.
Exactly.
Like
it was about the wolves. Yeah, the Romans were raised by wolves.
Right.
And that whole thing, yeah. But he's talking about... yeah, basically, there are no saints or there are no angels in the wild, just predator and prey. And that's kind of the same thing. Those girls were absolutely just prey walking around in Atlantic City where people are already out of control, fucked up, not thinking right on drugs and everything else.
Which is what worried me
so
much.
Like, they're primed for a fucking problem.
Right.
Joe had swabs left over from that girl with the dollar bills. But you did the right thing, man. You know, it's not worth.
No, I know. I know. It's just, I don't know.
Even if she was into it at the time, it really is. It's just not fun anymore.
Yeah,
no,
it's not.
You
know? No, exactly. No, you know, and again, that's why I said, like, my fuck up of, you know, giving her my number would have honestly been the next day when she was sober. I would have texted her, you know, it wouldn't have been for that night, obviously. I mean, it was already 5 in the fucking morning almost. But, but yeah,
I would have right before you figured that it was beyond the point. I just would have whipped it out real quick and be like, "Hey, what are you into it?" You know, and see if she just gave it a yank. And then if not, then you know they could beat it.
That would have been the test.
It's getting late. So jiggle that thing around a little bit.
Yeah. Ah. All right.
But you wonder, you know, where did they end up? Did they find their place?
Well, dude, that's the thing. Like, and that was like part of my question about, I said, you know, is it weird that I got concerned and went looking? But is it, I know it's not, but I guess not, at least from what you're saying. But is it weird though that I spent all night thinking about what you're saying? Kenny, I literally, Dave had to step out for a phone call real quick, but I literally I couldn't sleep at that point, you know, I just had the room for that night. I was going to go home the next day at like 6:15 in the morning. I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to drive home now, beat the traffic, because I couldn't fall asleep because I honestly was just thinking about, fuck, did they go to some other room where, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I told you with the story before. It gets weird sometimes, man, in those hotels, because no one has to go anywhere, you know. Everybody's all tuned up. Whether you lost or whether you won, you're on the total opposite side of each emotion, you know. You're either you won and you're like, holy shit, this is great, or you lost a lot and you're like, fuck this, I'm just going to take somebody out, you know. It gets really weird, man.
And
it gets
very, at the very minimum, everyone's loaded up on alcohol.
Exactly. No, of course.
More than usual. More than just alcohol.
24 hours. They're still, you know, they're still 7 o'clock in the morning. They're still
right.
Boozy,
yeah,
you know?
The lack of sleep, guys. I mean,
and some people don't have compassion for others, and then you know they'll take advantage.
Well, that's a sad thing, man. See, now this is part of what I was thinking. Would you say it's the majority of guys would be the ones they were lucky to not knock on? You know what I mean? Like, the majority of guys would be the ones to take advantage, or you think it's like 50-50? What do you think?
I would say, the majority would think of it. The majority would think of it. The majority would also, would also take your angle. The minority are the scumbags of scumbags, and it would, you know, they're going to go anyway.
See, so I think you got a more positive outlook, I guess, because I thought I was in the minority. I'm glad to hear that that might not be the case.
I might be giving them too much credit. Other humans, you know. I think I might be.
You know what? But here's why, Ken. Because I forgot about this part. I actually said to my friend after they left, I go, "Let's not tell the other guys about this tonight."
Because they make fun of you.
No. Because I know one or two would have tried to go out after them.
There you go. And you know,
you know what I mean?
That's your focus group right there. If you're with eight people, you know,
yeah,
and you could, you're just eight random people, and you could pick them out. That's your focus group. You'd be like, that guy would. I don't think that guy would. That guy would.
Right. Yeah. But just that I knew that at least one or two would, that was enough for me to, you know, to make sure. And we didn't. We didn't say shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
that's funny. That's really funny. And, you know, you sit there and you're like, man, I you know, my little nieces are going to be old enough in, you know, a couple of years and stuff, and they're going to experiment. And I'm like, you know, my three sisters, they've all been cool. You know, nothing has ever happened to them. They've all been level headed and smart and no one to have your wits about you. And you hopefully, you know, you're with my nieces, but you just think about those, you know, what if they wrangled them in? You know, you lock that door, you know, then you ain't leaving. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's nothing they can do about it.
Yeah. No, that's the scary fucking reality.
I'm sure they're fine. I'm sure nothing happened to them.
No, if they were maybe
15% less fucked up, it could have been an awesome time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it would have been. Like, I don't know if I could have, would have done anything. I mean, the friend I was with, aside from being, you know, like me, like, well, I don't want to say like me. I was going to say real good guy. He's even more than, he's level-headed, much more than I am. And he's also, you know, with someone, so he wouldn't do anything. But, you know, me as a single guy, yeah. I mean, if they weren't as fucked up, I might have, you know, tried. Sure.
Yeah.
But no, man, like I said, once I saw just the level of shit face, I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, well, when you're in the casino, there's a festival vibe kind of a thing. You know, everybody's in a good mood pretty much. You know, you're wondering if things are going to happen. There was the one time me and Otto and Johnny O and I think Conti was there too. And a bunch of us, we went and saw Don Rickles. And a friend of mine.
In AC?
Yeah, in Tropicana. Yeah, oh. We went up like three or four times we went to see him.
What did he have, like, a residency there, Rickles?
It was like an annual thing. He'd be there like once a year.
Okay.
And we'd all go see him. And the first year we were there, it was great. I won like $2,000. And we went to Carmine's and ate like fucking Kings. And then we were all the way up in the – we were like two seats up in the theater away. And everything done – this is the first time we ever saw him. And everything he would say, we're fucking dying, laughing, cracking up, and we're, you know, hitting each other, joking, and on stage, Rickles goes, "See, the real people that love me are all the way up there, and you got these bullshit seats, you fucking old people, you know?" All
right.
Because those were all the silver hairs. We were like, "Yeah," he noticed us. But there was another time, went to see him, and a friend of mine, a woman that I knew from up here, was the VIP director. Of the Tropicana. She was like, you know, the concierge kind of a thing. And we went down there, saw Rickles, and I got my ass handed to me. My friend, this dude Matt, was playing next to me. I ran it. He went to high school with him. and I ran into him at a roulette table, and a fucking guy just went on an unbelievable streak and wiped me out. I didn't want to play anything that he would play because I
Wait, what were you playing? What table were you at?
Roulette. We're at roulette.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that is the only table game I've played because I know nothing about gambling, man. Nothing.
Yeah, he's dead now.
Oh, okay. Happy
ending.
Yeah,
he just offed himself. Yeah, yeah. He was that kind of a dude. But he fucking whipped me through all my cash. I'm like, fuck this. So then she got off her shift, and I was completely
Wait, sorry.
Broke.
How did you blame losing at roulette on someone you were playing with?
Because he was a cooler. Because I was winning, and then he came in and just rattled off like...
Okay.
13th black, like five times in a row. He was just a fucking, it cooled the whole fucking thing down.
I got you, right. Okay.
Went nuts on a run.
Right.
And because I kept betting against him. I'm like, I'm not listening to this asshole. I've known him for 20 years. Fuck him. You know, we were friends, but I'm like, this guy's a jerk off.
Right.
So I kept betting the opposite of what he was doing. And the fucker kept winning thousands of dollars. So she gets off and, she's like, do you guys want to, not you guys, she says to me, you want to go in the VIP room? So I'm like, yeah, I had no money left and I wasn't going to go to the bank.
Wait,
I was
wait, no, sorry. This just took a jump from roulette table to what? You're a strip club now?
No. The gamer's room. The VIP.
Oh, VIP like, room of game. Okay.
Yeah, a fucking shrimp cocktail and a fucking carving station and shit.
What was the, so, what was the, what do you call it?
Actually, I skipped. Hold on a second.
All right.
I backwards two parts. When he whipped me out at the table, I was kind of like, well, what do you want to do? She's like, I don't know. I was like, you want to go to a room and make out? She's like, shit, yeah. And that's how I said it. And she was like, sure. I was like, okay. So we go back up to the room, and we proceed to do it twice. And so then after we're done, we're going downstairs. She's like, you hungry? And I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty hungry. She's like... bring you and your friends into the high rollers room and have something to eat. So I always tell the story that I banged it and I got free shrimp cocktail because we went in there. Fucking literally prime rib carving station.
No, this was a cocktail waitress?
No, she was the VIP concierge. She was the high rollers
excuse
concierge.
Me. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And she got
parties
off work.
With the real big dogs.
Yeah,
the high roller.
She was trying to get me. She was trying. We were gonna meet Rickles, so, but
would you fuck in her hotel room?
No, mine.
Oh,
my hotel
okay.
room. Okay. Yeah, but I wasn't gonna spend any more money. I was whipped. This guy whipped through like $500 of mine. I was like, "You fucking scumbag, dude!" And I left. And I was like, "You want him to go bang?" She's like, yeah. So we banged twice, and she got me shrimp.
It's gotta be one of the few times that line actually ever works.
Yeah, I was just joking around. I mean, there was always like there was this.
Then again, that's why you know what? I'm gonna try it because that's the perfect. If they say no, it's easily. No, I was kidding.
Yeah, no, it's just a joke. Relax, I'm fucking with you.
Yeah,
I wasn't even thinking about like having sex with her. I was just like, you want to go? I was like, you want to go make out? I was, you know, we were drinking and stuff, but she was off duty, off work. I was like, let's go make out. She's like, okay.
Now,
I was like, all right.
Before
and
that,
then
was
thing, she, once you start making out, then but, you're,
before you asked that, was she like next to you helping you bet for a while or like what?
She had to pull me off the table. She's like, you're getting fucking hammered. because I didn't want to let this cocksucker beat me. I'm
right.
like, there's no way this fucking guy is coming over here and cooling his table and whipping through my shit. And she's like, let's go. Come on. So I'm like, what do you want to do? She's like, I don't know. I was like, let's go make out.
Well, speaking of the roulette table, I mean, like I said, this time I was down there was the first time I played quote unquote anything other than slot machines because I don't know anything about gambling and it's better off that way. I have enough fucking vices.
I was gonna say I could see you having that tendency really quickly.
But dude, this is the thing. When I went to the roulette table, I just started with okay, I'm gonna either you know bet on red or black. So I think it was let's say for sake of argument, it was red. I bet right $25 chip on, and it lost. So I'm like, all right, well. I'm going to bet again. What are the odds of two in a row? All right, there's $50 gone. All right, there's no way three in a row it's going to hit. And, of course, $75. I'm talking in the span of
like, seconds.
Yeah.
Under a minute.
And yeah. And in my head, I go, holy fuck, I get it. I get how people lose their mortgages or whatever the fuck. And that was it. I was done. Yeah. I stopped because
the second you recognize that you're about to go overboard.
And this
it,
is why, again, I don't want to learn away. About, like, I know nothing about blackjack. I know it's a simple game.
Dude,
but
I love blackjack. I love
can't,
poker.
Again, I would.
I don't go near the casinos. I know what I'm like.
I mean, you guys know me. My addictive personality. Like I said, I got enough vices. Yeah. I'll
stick you're better off. Otto always said, whenever we would, you know, plan on going down there, because he loved to gamble, but he always said, he's like, you never go down there with milk money. He would call it milk money, you know, rent or whatever, you know. Oh, it's always okay. Extra expendable stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. What was his game of choice?
He was slots. Okay. He was a slot guy. He wasn't really a table guy. Once in a while, I would show him, but he was a slot guy.
I mean, I know I just said that's really all I ever played, but that's all I ever won money from. I mean, I remember winning, you know, once like $350 from a slot machine, another like $700.
Yeah, when you got a good pull on a slot machine, that's like one of those feelings where you're just like, oh, I'm gonna give all this back. Like you say to yourself, you're like, oh man, I can't believe I won like a couple hundred bucks.
Here's the weird thing. I don't know what it is about slot machines, but when that happens to me on a slot machine and I win one of those type amounts,
yeah,
I do stop. I know to stop.
Right.
Whereas what you just heard at the roulette table,
right?
Because I guess it's a whole different thing.
Where
your mind goes, no, there's no way three in a row.
That same night that we saw Rickles, I ran into. I was by myself. It's probably like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I ran into our friend James,
right?
Comedy shop, right. And he sees me, and my pockets. I got jeans on. And my pockets are overflowing with $100 and $100 chips, just overflowing. And I'm like almost like stumbling, and I'm all happy because I'm like winning. And he literally grabs me by the ear, and brings me and cashes the stuff in. Right, gives me a couple of $100 and says, "I'll see you in the morning." And I was like, "Okay," had no idea. And now it's like 5 o'clock in the morning. I whipped through the $300, and I didn't remember that I gave him that. He made me cash in all that cash.
Wow!
So I went to bed like, fuck, I lost every fucking dollar I had tonight. Yeah. I lost everything, you know, because I'm hammered.
Right.
I'm like, I lost everything. Fuck. So I go to bed, and I wake up. And it was one of the greatest mornings of all time. He fucking throws down $1,500 in fucking $100 bills. Chris, wow. Brand new 100s. And I was like, oh, shit, that's right. I won. He had the wherewithal. I would have whipped right through it. It would have been gone.
And then some.
You know? Yeah, I probably would have gotten a hooker. You know? Right. Yo, a hooker? Where's the rest of this moose? Arthur?
I still haven't, I don't know about you guys, I still haven't bothered checking out the remake.
What, with Russell Brand?
Yeah.
I can't.
Oh, fuck that.
Absolutely
man.
No interest.
Same here.
No interest.
I don't really. Ever watch
the
it.
The second I saw that he was doing, first of all, with Dudley Moore, that was a classic. But to do Russell Brand, it was obviously going to be an overdone, ridiculous comedy. And then I saw in the trailer he was in a Batmobile, and I was like, oh, fuck this, right in the ass. That is nothing like what Arthur Bach was in the original. Dudley Moore was like, it was classy. It was real money. It was that old school, like, waspy money that existed and still does, I guess. But, like, in the 80s, what it was like, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's totally. Yeah, I'll watch Russell Brand right after I watch The Honeymooners with Cedric the Entertainer.
I was going to say, and what
terrible
else?
Idea
what,
that was.
It feels like there's a more recent comedy remake that was done. That was completely unnecessary.
Of a show or a movie?
A movie. I know there's been a bunch.
Well, there was one that really surprised me. And I'm a Farrelly Brothers fan. It was The Three Stooges.
Okay. Was that good?
I am a huge fanatical Stooges fan.
Right. That's anyone on Kenny's Facebook knows this. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody says, you know, they binge watch Game of Thrones or something. Like, I can't binge watch anything. I don't have the time and I don't have the patience. The only thing that I'll binge watch, if there's a fucking Stooges marathon, I ain't fucking leaving the house.
Right.
It's the one thing.
That's how I am with sorry to interrupt. That's how I am with the Honeymooners marathon.
Yes, of course. My Honeymooners too. Right. Honeymooners is just a little bit lower because the Stooges, the stupid shit just makes me laugh out loud. It's the one I could see stuff and I'd be like, that's really funny. But to make me laugh out loud, it's funny. in my personal opinion, you know, you got me. That's good. And it does that. And then I was like, I heard they were redoing it. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? But then I heard it was the Farrelly brothers. And it wasn't bad.
So if you took it for
what it was.
Kenny, why are you defending this shit?
Because it was watchable. I thought it would be unwatchable, but if you take it, if you forget about the shorts and just put it in a movie, a Farrelly Brothers movie, they did okay when I saw the whole thing. I won't watch it again, but I watched it once. Why, disagree?
I didn't see it, and it just like the other ones, I have no interest in watching it. Because I know I'm just going to be annoyed.
I caught it by accident. It was on, and I'm like, well, let me check it out. I gave it a shot, and it was worth a shot. And not worth a shot. It was a shot. They got a shot. I sat through it.
What is this, Game of Thrones?
I sat through it to the point where I didn't turn it off because it was so bad. Got what I'm saying? Oh. It wasn't, by no means was it great or even good, but I sat through it.
Okay. Mom in the chat. I think we can all agree the Pink Panther remakes are the fucking best. Am I right, fellas?
Oh, man. You want to talk about another thing being bastardized? Like, Peter Sellers was incredible. He was a genius. And don't get me wrong. I think Steve Martin's a genius, too, but not for those movies. Like, that was terrible. Beyonce and Steve Martin. And it's like, what? What are you doing here?
I mean, I knew Steve Martin, but Beyonce was in it, too.
Wasn't she in the second one?
I wouldn't know, bro.
I think she might have been in one of them, yeah.
Let Steve Martin make The Jerk, too. You know, right. Or something. Let Steve Martin do his own thing.
Leave
Panther stuff alone.
Exactly.
You guys might give me shit for this, but I still don't know if I enjoyed The Jerk.
What?
I only saw it once.
Oh, you got to watch it again then.
It was like 10 years ago.
No, watch it again as an adult now. As an adult. Not like, you know, like just watch it
Wait,
again.
Wait, no. 2010 or 11 I saw it, so not 10 years.
So you're a fucking jerk off still. It's okay. Give yourself another couple years and you'll
I don't know. I thought it was...
It's good. It's silly. It's the point of
Well,
it.
Yeah.
It's goof. It's stupid. It's
goofy. Meant to be ridiculous. It's meant
to. Do you guys think it holds up?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's one of those movies that if I see it, I'll watch it. And it's
I'll
always
definitely
funny.
Watch it.
Yeah.
It holds up because I loved it as growing up. You Same know, when here. I loved it. So it'll always hold up for me. If you took, maybe if somebody who hasn't seen that kind of genre of a film, you know, or hasn't been a fan of the Dan Aykroyds or Belushi's or that, you know, or Bill Murray, you know, that kind of a thing back then, they might not really get it.
Didn't they remake Ghostbusters? Speaking of...
They just did a chick version. I don't know if they actually remade it, but they did a female cast. Yeah.
Why do they...
Because they have to. They have to. Don't you get it? Because they have to
now.
No,
I don't get it.
Because
Dave.
They have to. If you don't do it... Then there's something wrong with you. They're going to remake everything.
So everyone's included?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Nobody can feel like something doesn't represent them.
Why can't they call it something else then, at least?
I agree. It's like Stan Lee said. Somebody was talking about, like, there was some group talking about how they wanted they were petitioning for a Hispanic Spider-Man in the comic books. Something like that. And Stan Lee said, listen... The characters are written the way that they're written for a reason. They have this rich heritage as these characters. If you want characters to be representative of somebody else, make your own characters. I encourage you to create your own characters, create their own storyline. But these characters are written this way. That's their story. That's it. And I like that he took that stance where it wasn't like, oh, no, let me cater to somebody else right now who's stomping their feet and crying about shit rather than just saying, hey, you know what? I can't identify with this character. Their skin color, their whatever, you know, it's stupid.
Yeah, it's like they want, what's his name, Idris Albus or whatever his name is to be
Bond.
The next James Bond.
Yeah,
James Bond.
Wait, who's going to be the next James Bond?
They wanted Idris Alba to be the next James Bond.
I don't even know who that is.
He was in,
if you see him, if you saw him, you know who he is.
Shit.
Well, I mean, sure. Does it have to be Bond or can it be, you know...
I thought that he would have been a good Bond, though.
I could have sworn I heard
that. I'm saying he could be a good Bond. But
yeah.
Do you create a new kind of spy kind of a thing, you know?
I think you have to.
Am I making this up? I could have swore not long ago I read they were trying to make a female Bond character.
They were doing it with Halle Berry. They were trying to give her a movie, a spinoff movie, but it didn't go anywhere.
I thought it was Charlize Theron or Charlize Theron, whatever.
Oh, no, that movie Atomic Blonde or whatever? That looks
that
like...
That wasn't a Bond thing?
No, it looks like they're trying to make a female John Wick.
See, I didn't even see the regular John Wick.
It was a good movie. I actually liked it. I thought John Wick was pretty good. Speaking of which, it was very much a movie like in like the Charles Bronson kind of like... You know, Death Wish kind of thing. Did you see they're making... There's a remake of Death Wish coming out?
No.
With Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis.
What?
Yeah.
Bruce Willis.
Hold on, I gotta pull this
up. It's with Bruce Willis in Detroit.
What?
And there's a huge outcry on social media because of some of the imagery that you'll notice as soon as you watch the trailer.
Hold on,
but
yeah.
There was a huge outcry the day that the trailer got launched, and part of me wonders if the
Wait,
studio
don't tell me what it is
specifically
yet.
Did it that way for that purpose.
All right, Kenny, I don't know if you could pull up the Ustream video above the chat. But
yeah, I got you. Okay. I might be behind.
That's all right. But let's take a look at this together. Come on over here, Sweet Pea Dave.
Ooh, can I sit on your lap?
Yes.
Let me sit on your lap, baby. Here we go.
All right.
Sway in the morning, Shay 4-5. We got to talk about what's happening in Chicago. Oh. Everybody's watching this viral video of this guy in a hoodie. They're calling him the Grim Reaper. He stopped carjacking. Is he right for taking the law into his own hands? He's become a folk hero.
What about the shooter?
He looked like a white dude.
I love my family. But when they needed me most.
911, what is
that
your
voice
emergency?
He's doing?
Men, they're breaking into my house. I think they're here. No.
Failed to protect them.
You're right.
Dad, where's Mom?
The men who did it are out there.
So there's nothing that you can do? Is that what you're saying?
If a man really wants to protect what's his...
I want to buy a gun.
He has to do it for himself.
From Eli Roth?
We're closed, pal.
You killed my wife!
Who else was there?
I don't know anything else.
I believe you, Joe.
You're not going to kill me.
By the way, this is supposed to be set in present day New York?
No, this is supposed to be present day Chicago.
Okay, present day Chicago.
Yeah.
So when he went to that store, I'd like to buy a gun. Okay, so we're going to need your ID. Okay, yeah, you can't have a gun. End of movie.
Jackass.
You got caught in some crossfire?
The ice cream man done it.
The ice cream man?
Can't walk to school if you don't work for him.
Who are you?
Your last customer.
You're not a cop!
Somebody has to do it!
You know, what's promising is this song has never been used to establish, like, a cool thing before.
Kick-ass, so, yes. Yeah, like, a kick-ass part. Yeah. That's the first time that's been used.
You're cocked, locked, and ready to rock.
I'll say.
They called him a guardian angel.
Saved my life.
You look much better getting out socializing.
Not so much.
Well, whatever you're doing, keep it up.
Okay, I will.
Okay, so Paul Kersey's seeing a shrink as well, it seems. All right, now... Dave, you were saying there was outrage over this trailer. I just watched it.
You didn't see anything,
you,
right?
I swear to you, I was looking for it because you told me. Kenny, did you hear about the outrage Dave's talking about?
No, I haven't. No.
Okay, so Kenny, you saw the trailer, right?
I read about the outrage after I saw the trailer as well.
I read the article. I read that it was coming out, but I didn't see the trailer yet.
All right, so you ready? I'll tell you exactly what
Please
the imagery
do,
was
I
that there was an outcry about.
Don't understand what was wrong with that. I mean, other than just not leaving the classic film alone,
of
I don't
course.
Get what was wrong with that.
He was walking around wearing a hoodie and shooting people. And people went nuts and said that that is racist.
What?
On social media, they went crazy and said the trailer was racist because there was a scene of him going and shooting the Hispanic guys, I guess, in front of that like project that were drug dealers or whatever. And they were saying that this is such a racist thing. But in the meantime, it was like, first of all, I think Eli Roth probably did that on purpose in the movie, have that imagery there for that reason.
What, the hoodie?
I mean, if not, it just shows you how intolerant and ridiculous society is.
But I mean,
but why? The but point
they're,
is,
they're
like,
acting like there's never been a white criminal that has worn a hoodie.
Like that's the thing, is it's become like understand. It's only synonymous now with Trayvon Martin. The hoodie and shooting, but or the hoodie Trayvon and anything Martin, violent, is but, automatically thrown on the black community now, and I think it's ridiculous.
I mean, the Trayvon Martin situation has nothing to do with this film.
Has nothing to do with this at all, exactly. But that's it's setting a social, I guess, tone to things. It's establishing a narrative that's like you can't do anything now that is perceived to be. You know what the problem is? It's not even you can't do anything that's perceived to be. It's people look for something to be offended by with everything. And the problem is that with that, somebody just took it and ran with it. And some other assholes online said, you know what, you're right. Because this day and age, everybody wants to be offended by something, you know?
I just Googled Death Wish Remake.
Yeah.
One in top stories, you know, and has that in Google, the little icons of... I'm explaining Google like I'm 78 years old. Okay. Huh. It says Death Wish. This is one of the... links the headline to the Guardian, an article. Death Wish is the...
Hey guys, real quick, I'll be right back. 2 seconds.
All
right,
babes. Okay. Death Wish is the Bruce Willis remake in alt-right fantasy.
What?
I don't even want to fucking click on this.
Can you believe
this
nonsense?
Is 2 days ago, by the way, this came out. This article.
It's unbelievable how this nonsense goes. Everything has to be classified by some extreme fucking narrative, you know? Some label of like alt-right or
see, I'm clicking on it. I have to click. The trailer for Eli Roth's revival of the action franchise has been accused of being nakedly fascist. What? I don't even know what the fuck. Nakedly fascist? Does that mean like openly?
Yeah, I think they mean like not making any apologies, just being like fascist, and that's what it is.
In its story of vigilantism in a volatile Chicago. You know, because Chicago is known for its peaceful suburbs.
Of course, absolutely. And of course, it's known for its rampant amount of people who look like Bruce Willis shooting people in Chicago.
Right. Well, I mean, that...
Is it wrong to say that in Chicago there's a high amount of black crime? It is what it is.
One of the, maybe black on maybe black the highest crime. Per capita. Yeah, by far. All right, I'm going to annoy myself and skim this a little bit. There's a long and fine tradition of pointing out that Eli Roth's new films don't look very good. The cocksure writer, director, producer, and sometime actor has spent the last 15 years serving up reliably polarizing... This is the problem with online articles. They forgot the A. The last 15 years serving up reliably polarizing product. Shouldn't it be A? Whatever. From the gloomy, insidious torture porn of Hostel. Torture porn. That was just a shitty movie.
Right. With it was tits. A fucking shock value horror movie.
Torture porn. These fucking made up new phrases. These buzzwords. That yeah.
Preposterous.
These trigger words. Torture porn. Go fuck your mother. Torture porn of Hostel
fuck
to the
your mother.
Garish sex pop thriller Knock Knock. I don't even know what that is.
Knock Knock was with Keanu Reeves. I didn't get a chance to see it, but I saw the trailer for it. It's two girls show up at Keanu Reeves' house in the middle of a storm, and apparently there's some kind of, you know, they're preying on him. Like, they get him involved in some kind of orgy, and then they frame him for some shit.
Wait a minute. I might have seen this, or I at least
I wanted to
I
see
know
Knock
what you're talking
Knock.
About.
Yeah, I never okay. got a chance to watch it, but it looked like it was interesting enough. Any movie with Keanu Reeves generally is good, going
and
back to
Eli
John Wick,
Roth
for example.
Is usually good.
Yeah, and Eli Roth.
Roth's latest, the most high-profile project, along in the works, resurrection of the Death Wish franchise with Bruce Willis as the trigger-happy lead, has attracted even sharper criticism than usual. The launch trailer has sustained heavy fire on social media, called out for being, quote, nakedly fascist and being compared to an alt-right fan fiction. To mix animal metaphors... I'll shut up about that. The trailer does make the rebooted Death Wish look like a depressing frog chorus of alt-right dog whistles.
No, wait, let me ask you a question. What I saw in that trailer, tell me if you saw the same thing as me. Just yeah. be honest. Let me tell you what my take was.
Yeah.
A guy...
I'm back.
Hi, all Kenny. Right, welcome back, Kenny. So this is what that trailer looked like to me. A guy, his wife is killed, and his daughter is raped. This is what the trailer looks like to me. And now,
like the original Death Wish premise,
he wants to go out and seek vengeance on the people who did it. Right. Who in the trailer weren't classified by any race whatsoever. In fact, the one guy with the truck with the car when he pulled the chain, that guy was a white guy. But the point is,
did they show that to his family?
What about that is alt-right fantasy? That whole story premise is what anybody would do in any movie. A Time to Kill, for example. Samuel L. Jackson's daughter gets strung up and raped, and then he goes out and kills a couple of guys.
Great movie, by the way.
A great movie, but that's not like there's no alt-right fantasy to that narrative. It's just something that's like it's inherent in every group. If something happens to so-and-so and the other side does it, we go seek revenge. Whether it's, you know, bad guys raping the daughter and killing the wife, or it's, you know, cowboys and Indians, it's like the narrative that they need to have for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I do. I'm sorry. I'm distracted.
It's never going to go anywhere.
Because I'm not sure whether I want to keep, because this is going to make me, and you, a little angry. But fuck it. I'm going to read it.
But fuck it. Who wants to
but
do that?
But fuck it. Children.
Joe, there's kids listening to this show. What are you doing?
Kenny, if you missed this.
No,
is...
I was talking about me and you. As soon as you said it, we were like, butt fucking.
Kenny, if you missed it, I'm reading an article from The Guardian saying, the headline is Death Wish. Is the Bruce Willis remake an alt-right fantasy? The setting has been shifted from New York to Chicago, a city currently struggling in real life to cope with the resurgent murder rate while being attacked by Donald Trump on a weekly basis.
Yes, he's been doing that, hasn't he? I've heard nothing about that.
I don't know, he was the trigger man in all those black-on-black homicides.
Well, in an article that's alt-right, that's accusing something of being alt-right,
it goes on,
how fitting that they would talk about Trump.
It goes on. Yeah. The alt-right like to paint the U.S.'s third largest city, Chicago, as an urban hellscape overrun by predominantly black gangs fighting for turf. That's what it is.
Isn't that what it is?
That's
not a stereotype. That is a classification of what is factual.
Purists might point to the fact that the new film's location is paying tribute to Michael Winner's 1974 original, which ends with Bronson arriving at Chicago's Union Station to continue his vigilante campaign. By fully setting the remake in Chicago, however, Roth and his producers are wading into real-life racial tensions. In parentheses, while filming mostly in Montreal.
Jeez, do
you know how many movies are not filmed in the city they're supposed to be filmed
in? Right, because it's
so
much
cheaper. Right, exactly.
To film in Canada. The remake appears to stick to the man-on-the-edge premise of the original. Willis plays an affluent middle-aged surgeon whose wife and daughter are victims of savage home invasion with the cops. And I don't need to go on. We know it. I don't understand the outrage, though. I really don't.
People need to be pissed off about something these days, and apparently the imagery in that trailer triggered some little fucking social justice warrior jerk-off to go off on a tangent, and it caught steam with somebody else who said, you know what, I need the same reason to be pissed off. Let's run with it.
Even if what they were saying in the article was accurate, which it wasn't, what was happening in Chicago, it's just a movie.
Right.
It's not a documentary. It's a
right.
fucking
it's fictional.
Movie.
It's
yeah.
not a factual movie. There's
so
nothing about this.
I don't know where the fucking problem comes from.
People
well, like you said,
maybe we should call Spider-Man to help.
Yes.
That would solve everything.
Yes.
Right?
Nobody was upset with that, right?
That Deadpool dude. Maybe he can help Bruce Willis. It's
how funny fiction. Is that? People can watch all those movies. They can watch The Avengers and watch, you know, New York get destroyed by these flying fucking dinosaurs and shit. And nobody's upset about that. Right? But all of a sudden you see Bruce Willis wearing a hoodie and in Chicago and you go, Chicago. Chicago doesn't deserve to be stigmatized like that. It's like it's a fictional movie, just like Transformers, motherfucker. Like, what's the problem?
Yeah. Do you know how many fucking people in the Transformers movies have died?
Oh my goodness!
It'd be like 9/11
going
to those office buildings. What do you think, the office buildings are empty?
Right,
it's middle of the afternoon.
There's people in all of those. Every time those giant robot things fell from the sky, they crushed hundreds of people, hundreds if not thousands of people. Nobody talks about that shit and goes, man, I can't believe how fucking horrible they made New York look.
Just like
they made New York look.
About this.
They made New York look horrible.
Ask all the guys in Ladder 2 in Lower Manhattan if they're offended by fucking Transformers bashing up buildings.
Exactly. It's fucking ridiculous these days. People have to be pissed off about everything. That's why it's important to say fuck
Do they have nothing else to do?
Well, that's just the thing, man.
You know, do something, garden or something, or paint. Do something different. It's like, it does, you know, it's annoying because it spurs on, we should be talking about vagina dollar tricks and not dissecting someone's stupid thing, but we do it because it's there and you're like, you have to talk about it, but it's some asshole, you know, it's just like, fucking figure something else out.
But here's the thing, Kenny, I mean, just a couple of years ago, what I read would have been on some half of fag's blog journal, but what I just read was from The Guardian.
Right, and that's a reasonably credible outlet.
Reasonably credible.
Right. Reasonably.
But still, it's
very
a tabloid-ish,
but still. It's still a
news. So, I mean, this is... But that's it's getting worse and worse.
That's what all of the stories are there, too. The Guardian has gotten so biased of late. Like, everything they do is painting one biased narrative. You know what I mean? It's always on one side or the other.
But it's like Kenny said, it's the whole... And you two looking for things to go after.
Right.
And, I mean, do these fucking jerk-offs think they're making a difference? Or is it just the attention thing? Like, look what I pointed out. Like, look at...
What do you think you get for that? Does somebody... Nobody throws you a fucking an emotional cookie for figuring out something in society that you have a problem with because you're a
bitch.
Do you
feel like they're heroic in fucking writing this nonsense?
Look at me. This afternoon, I do this all the time when...
Jerk-off?
Yeah. Ooh. When Trump does something, speaks or whatever, when I'm able to catch it, and I got home today and he was with a Security Council meeting over in Bedminster, New Jersey, or whatever,
right?
And he did he answered some questions afterwards, and what I did was once they answer the questions, then they have the panel analyzes it. So I went to Fox, then I went to CNN.
Isn't it fun doing MSNBC? Yeah,
and to see the total different.
It's like they all watched a different thing.
Exactly. You're like, he didn't see, you know, there was one thing that Putin kicked out 750 or 750 diplomats out of Russia, American diplomats out of Russia. Mm-hmm. And Trump was like, well, I should thank him because now we have a lower payroll. That's what he said. And on CNN. The guy was like, "I don't think he was joking." The government budget doesn't work that way, Mr. Trump. And I'm like, he was fucking joking, you asshole.
Clearly,
you know, and you go to each one, and you're like, "You fucking dolt." That's why it's not even. I don't even get into it. It's not even worth it. But I just like to peek in every so often.
Yeah, no, same here. Yeah, absolutely, you know?
Just to get an idea what the hell they're talking about.
I can't stand all of it. But I do that because I just like, look around. Let's see what they think. Let's see what they think. And it's so fucking way off that there is no actual place that level-headed people like us can go to get the real, you know, the straight dope on stuff. There isn't one.
I'd like to think that it used to be CNN. Like, you know, Fox, obviously right, always was. MSNBC, way left, always was. And I'm making this up, or I'm fancy. I thought CNN used to be,
I agree, or tried to be
in the middle, but now they're just left.
No, now they're 100% left. Yeah, once upon a time they were pretty middle ground.
That's what I thought.
At one time they were middle, right?
When we were growing, I mean, not even when we were growing up until probably about 15 years ago, maybe 10, 15 years ago. It really started early Obama, pre-Obama administration. Like late Bush days, and then by the time Obama was in, it was just straight up.
Where it was mainly presenting facts without bias.
Right. Once upon a time, it was seemingly unbiased, at least. I mean, I don't remember seeing anything that made me go, wow, this is all one side of the fucking coin.
Like it is now, right?
Yeah.
It's really crazy. And any local news, all it is just car accidents and shootings and babies falling out of buildings. You know, falling out of air conditioner holes. You know,
people peeing on each other at concerts.
Ooh.
Kenny, check this out. I'm glad you're on for this one. Okay, this was it's a quick video clip, and then there's. Do you want to pull the article up, Dave?
If you can read after we play this video.
Top songs, Enter Sandman.
Can you hear that, right, Ken?
Yeah, I can hear a little bit of you, sure.
Okay.
Metallica's recent concert in Glendale. Songs up. Enter Sandman. But at Metallica's recent concert in Glendale, it was more like Enter Policeman. Say Daniel DiDio urinated
Enter Spider-Man.
On a family of three in front of him, including a 10-year concert in Glendale. It was more like Enter Policeman. Cops say Daniel DiDio urinated on a family of three in front of him, including a 10-year-old girl. And all new tonight, we're hearing the scolding the judge just gave him in court.
I have to say, in the 15 years I've been on the bench, this is one of the most disgusting scenarios I've ever read. I don't know if you were just completely, I don't want to use the word, I'll just say drunk. And I don't know if you even know what you did.
As you heard from the judge, no shocker here, police say DiDio was heavily intoxicated.
She wanted to ask him if he was shit-faced.
I was going
to
say, what other word, yeah. But now there's more details, if you don't mind reading the article.
Sure. There. So we're banging our heads over this one.
Oh,
get it? Head banging.
Like heavy metal music.
A New Mexico man is facing charges of disorderly conduct and indecent exposure after he allegedly peed on a family at Friday's Metallica concert in Glendale, Arizona. Daniel Dadio, 44, of Albuquerque, was arrested after a family of three told employees at the University of Phoenix Stadium they, quote, felt warm liquid washing over their backs and legs, end quote, according to KNXV-TV.
I'm getting excited now.
Right, isn't this hot? little golden shower. The father, who was attending the show with his wife and 10-year-old daughter, told police when he turned around he saw the suspect holding his genitals. Police said the father confronted Dadio. So he saw a guy holding his genitals and then confronted him.
This wasn't an accident. This guy was aiming and pissing on his
family. He was holding
his
dick and then pissing on...
Now, before you get into more...
His name is Daddy-O. His last name is Daddy-O. Like, check it out, Daddy-O. Pissing on your kids. Yeah, Daddy-O. Cool. It's groovy.
Aside from that, before you get back to the article, Dave, you got to wonder, what'd they do? Were they maybe... Yeah, okay, wait. He was behind them, obviously, right?
He was standing behind them.
All right, so I'm trying to think. So in that case, it couldn't have been my usual people behind me asking me to sit down at a concert. So it could have been that. Maybe he was having a cigarette and they were telling him to put it out because the kids.
Possibly, yeah, possibly. There's more to the story than just this. There has
to be. Maybe it explains.
Because nobody just pees on people. I mean, I know just pees on people. But then again, I don't know.
Maybe he'll tell us more.
I don't know. I don't know Daddy-O. I don't know Daniel
Daddy-O. Well, let's get to learn Daddy-O more, please.
All right. So Daniel Daddy-O said, police said the father confronted Daddy-O, who allegedly just shrugged. He just said.
Now every time you say his name, I'm like, I giggle. It's Daddy-O.
Check it out, Daddy-O. So state troopers were called to the scene. They questioned Daddy-O.
See what happens?
State troopers were called to the scene. They questioned Daddy-O, who denied peeing on the family. He was arrested at 9:40 for not being a hip cat. Daddy-O. Police said his ticket was located right behind the family, according to azcentral.com. They also noted he seemed intoxicated.
You don't say.
I would imagine is, geez, look at that picture. What a bugged out looking dude. If he wasn't just intoxicated there in this picture, he's fucking intoxicated, sniffed out, and he looks like he's a little bipolar.
A little bit.
But that's just me, you know. So Daddy-O appeared in court over the weekend, and the presiding judge seemed to have a wee problem. Oh, God, this is terrible. Daddy-O appeared in court over the weekend, and the presiding judge seemed to have a wee problem with the allegations. Joe is entertained and amused right now.
No, I am not.
Now, this is the judge, right? Oh, no, we already heard this before. The whole thing about I have to say in the 15 years I've been on the bench.
The quote from the judge.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Daddy-O's next scheduled court date is August 18th, right after his jazz concert.
So this will
the,
be...
The father of the family turned around and was pissed.
That's pretty good.
So now we'll have to keep you updated on this ongoing story. See what happens after his next court date.
Oh, boy. I can't wait to know more about that.
Well, that's like, remember a couple of years ago, there was an off-duty cop. I think it was a detective or something in Philly. And he was hammered drunk, and he was next to a bunch of, next to family, a family. And he made himself puke, and he threw up on a kid.
What, just voluntarily he did it?
Volante made himself throw up and threw up on the whole family. Yeah, because I guess they were rival fans or something.
Okay, I was going to say, what was the motive?
I'm going to teach these fuckers a lesson.
Let me see.
I'm going to yak up what I ate earlier and make myself sick.
Yeah, it was a Philly.
Can I tell you something? That sounds like a Philly thing to do.
You said this was a sports game?
Yeah, it was a Phillies baseball game.
Okay, yeah, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised that happened in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
That is such a Philly thing to do.
Isn't? Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
Phillies fan charged with intentionally vomiting on cop's kid. Oh, on a cop's kid.
On a cop's kid yet.
No, but was the father there in uniform?
No. Philadelphia has always been known for having tough crowds, but bad fan behavior there may have hit a low at a Phillies game this week. There, a 21-year-old fan allegedly vomited intentionally on an 11-year-old daughter of an off-duty cop. That's what it was. It was an off-duty cop. Police have charged Matthew Clemens of Cherry Hill, New Jersey, with aggravated assault and other counts in the Wednesday incident at Citizens Bank Park. In quotations, it was the most vile, disgusting thing I've ever seen, and I've been a cop for 20 years. Easton Police Captain Michael Vangelo. Vangelo said Clemens also struck him in the head several times. Vangelo said he complained to security about cursing and spitting by Clemens and a friend. So there's this kid. He looks like Dan DiMarino with a black eye.
But can you put the link in the chat?
I don't know how to do that. If you Google search Phillies fan, it looks like Dan with a hairpiece.
All right, Phillies fan. What's the Google search, Ken?
Yeah, I Google searched
Phillies fan. What?
Phillies fan pukes on cop.
All right.
I'm sorry. Philly cop pukes on family, and that's it's from USA Today. April 6th. Right. It's actually 2010.
April 16th, 2010, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't look like Dan. Come over here, Dave. We'll put it in the...
Is that the one with the black eye?
In the red shirt?
Yeah, does it look like him?
Wow, it does. No, it totally does.
You really
think? Take away that hair. Dude,
yeah, with a hair, with a hair piece?
Ready, here, stop, stop. That could totally...
All right, I see the resemblance.
It looks like he's got the same little like chin hair that Dan has.
Like that helps it. That little bit of shadow on the chin there.
All right, I kind of see it.
So Dan got arrested for projectile vomiting on a Phillies fan, and he was wearing a wig while he did it. I get it.
Yeah. One of my friends also named Dan. Whenever he would go to concerts and it was raining, he would just pee in his pants. Because, like, you know, like PNC Arts Center.
I'm assuming outdoor concerts.
Yeah, outdoor. He works for. He does festivals and stuff. That's his job. He's like a.
Sounds like a professional.
Yes, he does something with like beverage and whatnot. But every time it rains,
he sells drinks at the stands.
Yeah, he does his company. Whatever, he travels all over the country doing.
I'm trying to make it sound old.
Try to church it up, Kenny.
He pees in his pants all the time. He's like, my pants are already wet, and he just sits there and pees right down his leg.
Sexy.
Yeah. If you figure now, you're soaking wet. I mean,
I've been at concerts where mainly outdoors, like PNC comes to mind, when you're on the lawn, but it's got to be really dark and very packed. And of course, I'm at least buzzed. And, you know, when it's that packed, and also, actually, maybe even more so. I've only done this two or three times. I don't want to make it sound like I've done it a lot. But more so in, like, let's say, like the Bowery Ballroom, or, you know, what's another one of those, Kenny, like in the Village, those small clubs, like, where it's just standing room only, really.
Oh, yeah.
Knitting Factory?
No. Fuck. Like Terminal 5 is one of them, but there's anyway.
Just, I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
yeah, just where it's all standing room only, and the thing is, if you go walk, if you got a decent spot away from the stage and you go walk to take a piss, you're never gonna get back to where you were. You could try, And especially if you're more than halfway through the concert, you're risking a fist fight. Because every guy that you swipe as you go, excuse me, I'm trying to, even if you have friends you're trying to get to, everyone right. says that.
Yeah, yeah.
You're looking to start a fight. So you just don't leave your spot.
Right.
So there's been an occasion or two where I've taken an empty, like, 24-ounce cup that my Bud Light was in. And, again, obviously dark and crowded. I've pissed in it without anyone noticing.
Yeah.
And then the only thing is you got to look for the perfect time where no one's really looking at all.
Yeah, but to I mean, place that's, it down. Only, that's only 16 ounces with your hog. You need about six of those.
Well, just because I have a big fat cock doesn't mean I hold more piss. It just means I got to lower it farther down so I don't dip the tip of my dick in my cup piss. That's all.
Yeah, like you're making candles.
Dave looks nauseous. All right. Well,
I've never done that. I've pissed in like in bottles, you know, in the car and stuff, you know. Well, but I never.
Oh had a yeah. Right now, there's got to be a Gatorade bottle full of piss underneath one of my car seats from a trip. Yeah.
Somewhere. You know what? Once you notice this, you'll see it all the time. When you're on somewhere like the Belt Parkway. And you just see with a lot of places where there's a lot of traffic.
Yeah.
All you do, look on the side of the road. All there is friggin' Poland Spring bottles with piss in it. Over and over again. You're like, there's a lot of piss all over the place. Because the guys are stuck in traffic. They piss in a bottle and they chuck it out the window.
Yeah.
Once you notice it, you'll see it forever. The piss bottles on the side of the highways.
I got to tell you something. I commute. From Jersey out to Long Island every single day, and now that I know that, I'm like literally all the way out the George Washington Bridge, I-95, everything else, I'm gonna be looking for that all the time now. Like all the, I'm in the car an hour and a half each way, Kenny, and now I'm gonna be staring out the window like, whoa. Look at all this piss that Poland Springs is helping America keep. Holy shit.
Yeah. You're it's the prostrate highway.
I can't wait to start noticing that now. Thank you for pointing out my new obsessive compulsive behavior.
Yeah, when I drove the Belt Parkway for like 7 years, every day for like 7 years, and I'm just sitting there. You're just stuck. There ain't nowhere you can go, and you just look down at the piss bottles, and hats.
As far as the eye can see.
Yeah. Everybody lose. How do you lose a hat? You know? Unless you have a convertible. But there's just hats and, like, flip-flops. You know, how does that happen? How does it get out of the car?
You know, hats I get. I mean, you just explained it with convertibles. I used to have convertible. And, yeah, if I had a hat on, it'd have to be backwards. Because
forward is going right
forward,
off.
It's flying right off.
But yeah, but sandals, you're in Coney Island. What? How many people in Coney Island have a convertible?
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, that's a short town. Maybe not. Maybe bad example. But look, there's just hats and piss. That's it.
Hats and piss everywhere.
Well, with that, I want to thank you guys for coming on. It's 9 thank you already. Ken, this was a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, it was a good time, man. Thanks for having me. I got the whole show tonight.
Yeah, we got to come back soon. As do you, Dave.
I do.
A lot of fun,
I will,
man.
For sure, man.
All right. Thank you for having me. You guys have anything you want to plug? That was almost an English sentence that came out of my mouth.
Yeah, I'll be slipping into a little coma later on this evening.
All right.
You can catch me tomorrow if I wake up from it.
Okay.
And,
we'll look for Dave there.
Yeah, look for me tomorrow.
All right. Kenny's on the Conti and Kenny shows right here, More Like Radio, Monday nights. 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern. ContiandKenny.com for previous shows.
All right, Phil. Thanks for having me. I'll bail out now.
All right, bro. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks again, man.
All right. Talk to you soon, guys.
Later, right. Kenny.
Later, man. All right. All right.
Take it, Kenny.
We'll see you guys next week. Thank you for listening.
Off the stage, faded away and through the clouds to the gig in the sky.
to